Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping well out there. It's Monday, it's the 23rd of April, and it's a lovely sunny day in Kent. So wherever you are, I hope you're having a great day and that the sun shines for you today. On today's show, we are going to be talking about a few health-related issues. We're going to be talking about the implications of excess belly fat. We covered the subject of visceral fat last week, but I'm going to go into a bit more detail with some of the implications, not necessarily of being overweight, but carrying too much belly fat. We're also going to have a chat about glucagon. Last week we spoke about insulin, and today we're going to talk about glucagon. And I have a special guest on with me this morning. It's a lady that I've known for a while now that I network with in Maidstone. I'd like you to meet Carol Williams. Morning, Carol.
Morning.
Carol is from First for Hypnotherapy, so she is a hypnotherapist, and in about 15, 20 minutes or so, we'll be finding out more about hypnotherapy, what it is, what it does, and Carol's background and how she may be able to help you. So before we start and we have a chat about belly fat, a quick disclaimer, as I do every show. So the purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. Okay, if you'd like to tweet in and you'd like a shout out on this morning's show, please go to the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show, using the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Drop me a tweet, ask for a shout out, and I'll give you a mention on air as we go through the show. You can also find the show's Facebook page, which is Health Matters Radio Show on Facebook. And as usual, if you'd like to contact me privately and drop me an email on a one-to-one basis, you can contact me through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. I've got to mention that today's music is from 1978, so we've got some real great songs to play for you this morning as we go through the show. So the first subject that we're going to cover this morning is the subject of excess belly fat. So we're not necessarily going to be talking about being overweight, we are talking about carrying too much fat around the belly. And actually, someone can carry too much fat around the belly and be of the correct weight. Or as many doctors still do, they use BMI. I would argue that with the technology we have these days, BMI is a little bit dated, but there's lots of medical professionals that still use the calculation of BMI. So these are people that may fall into the healthy BMI window, but still be carrying too much fat around the belly. And too much fat around the belly has huge implications for the individual's health. So when we eat refined carbohydrates, when we have quite a sedentary lifestyle, perhaps we have a low muscle mass weight, so we have a fairly low metabolism. When we store fat, generally the first place we store it is around the belly. Now, don't get me wrong, belly fat and fat in general is the body's self-preservation mechanism. Back in the days when we were hunter-gatherers, we wouldn't eat for weeks and weeks at a time. And then when we did eat, that fat, all that energy had to last us for these periods of fasting. Now, we don't live in a society these days where we have to hunt wild animals for our food, and very rarely will we go weeks and weeks without eating. But the fat storage mechanism still works the same as it did for thousands of years ago. And the problem comes is when we are actually storing too much fat. So when we store too much fat, this has huge health implications for us. Some of these implications, as I've mentioned before, is things like type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, heart attacks, strokes. If you're carrying too much belly fat, the risk of those sorts of implications doubles. There's been some really interesting research out recently from America that's saying that's been saying that people that have got a waist size bigger than their hips are at twice the amount or twice the risk of dangerous heart attacks, and that they should consult their doctors. And one of the issues is with belly fat is it contributes to insulin resistance. It contributes to, or it releases certain chemicals into the body that then have other problems. It can increase blood pressure. It can actually affect the liver. These fat cells release fatty acids into the body where they shouldn't be, and they can cause health issues as well. So I do stress it isn't just about being overweight or underweight or the right weight. It's about fat around the body. So bear in mind, if your belly size is more than half of your height, so if you are 6 foot tall, which is 72 inches, ideally you should have a belly or a waist size of no more than 36 inches, so half of your height. Or if your belly is actually bigger than your hips, then this is for you. So as I mentioned, too much belly fat can interfere with the liver's functioning. It can contribute to higher bad cholesterol, insulin resistance, which obviously leads on to things like type 2 diabetes. And there's a thing called MACE, M-A-C-E, which is major adverse cardiovascular events. And there was some research by the Rochester Epidemiology Project from 2000 to 2016. And it showed that patients and clients that had a waist circumference that was greater than their hip circumference had a massive increased risk of things like heart attack and stroke and cardiovascular issues. So belly fat, whilst it might not be attractive for most people, does have an implication when it comes to our health. And not only does it have an implication for our short-term health, but it can have an implication for our life expectancy as well, because things like strokes and cardiovascular issues and cancer and diabetes and hypertension, high blood pressure, then they can also have a major impact on our longevity. So the Western diet has a big part to play in this. So we, you know, in the Western world, we eat lots of saturated fat, we eat lots of sugar. We eat lots of grains. Grains are a big driver of blood sugars when it comes to type 2 diabetes. We eat lots of red meat. We eat lots of fatty meat. We eat lots of processed food. And we eat lots of junk food. And all these things contribute, our diet and our lifestyle contribute to an increase in fat in our body, an increase in body fat. And then at some point, some of these health issues that I've mentioned already. So what do we do about it? Well, losing weight is important. It's good to be of a healthy weight. Now, weight is more than just how much you weigh. It's also how that weight's made up. So for those of you that know me, you'll know that body composition is a really big thing for me. It's not just how much you weigh. It's where that weight comes from in terms of bone structure, hydration, muscle mass, and body fat. So the ideal is to reduce down the body fat. As you reduce down your subcutaneous or your visible body fat, your visceral fat starts to come down at the same time. And this whole slot is about the dangers of visceral fat. So please do take it seriously. If your belly size in inches is more than half of your height in inches, or your belly is bigger than your hip circumference, your belly circumference is bigger than your hip circumference, then please do talk to someone. That might be a doctor, that might be a nutritionist, you might decide to go onto a diet plan. Whatever you do, please do something about it. And if you're not overweight, but you have got a big belly, it comes down to waist loss rather than weight loss. Don't go on a crash diet. Don't do all these silly diet plans or meal replacements, all the things that encourage fast weight loss. Lose the weight slowly and steadily, and then you'll be more likely to actually keep it off. And also exercise more. You know, don't be so sedentary. Simple things like when you park your car at a car park, in a supermarket, park the furthest away. Because obviously there's a bit of a walk there and there is a bit of a walk back, and there's also less chance of your car getting dented as well, I hasten to add. And also, if you've got the chance to use a lift or use the stairs, then use the stairs. You know, go out for a walk every day. Start doing a bit of exercise. You know, it doesn't matter how little you do, it's better than doing nothing. And one of the big takeaways from this lot is to cut out refined carbohydrates. So really cut out the sugars, because the sugars have a huge impact on your hormones, particularly insulin, and they will contribute to body fat gain, and but not just subcutaneous, but also visceral fat gain. So if that applies to you, please do something about it. It's important. Your health depends on it, not just in the short term, but also in the long term too. Right. Okay. Time to go on to our first song from 1978. I'm sure some of you out there that are listening weren't even alive in 1978, but some of these songs are classics. It was a great year for music. And here's the first song.
Time for the young bright lights. Just down past the gas works by the meat factory door, the five lamb boys were coming on strong. The Saturday night city beat had already started, and the pulse of the corner boys just sprang into action. And young Billy watching under the yellow street light, he said, tonight, up all night, it's gonna be a blight night. Scat dust and sound. The screaming and crying in the high-rise block. It's a rat trap, Billy, but you're already caught. Hey, you can make it if you wanna, or you need it bad enough. You're young and good-looking, and you're acting kind of tough anyway. It's Saturday night time to see what's going down. Put on the right suit, Billy, head for the right side of town. It's only 8 o'clock, but you're already.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 23rd of April. I hope you're all keeping well out there this morning. So, as I mentioned, you can tweet into the show for a shout out or just for a mention. I'm happy to give you a mention as an individual or for your business. If you drop me a tweet at Health Radio Show on Twitter, then I'll happily give you a shout out. And you can find the show's Facebook page if you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show. I have a quick shout out for Victoria Sheridan. For those of you who listened to the show last week, Victoria came onto the show and was talking about all the things that she's doing at the moment. And she's got an event up in Kensington she didn't put a date on it. So Victoria, didn't put a date on your email, but I will mention it anyway. It's called Make Your Life Work. It's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Balmoral Suites and Private Garden in Kensington. The cost is £10 for the whole day, and you can contact Victoria at The Secret Calm. So www.thesecretcalm.com for more information about her event. She's put here that it's happening on Saturday, so I assume that it's this coming Saturday. So drop Victoria a line, www.thesecretcalm.com for more information about the event that she has up in London. I'd also like to give one of my friends a quick mention as well, Dee Stringer. Dee was on the show a few shows ago, and Dee is a lymphedema specialist, and Dee was up in London yesterday doing massage therapy for the participants of the London Marathon. So well done, Dee. I saw the pictures on Twitter. It looked like hard work, but I know you're very good at what you do and you have a passion for what you do. So I thought I'd give you a quick mention, and Dee's Twitter feed is at D-D-E-E, so at DStringer1 on Twitter. So we come on to a special guest interview, and today, as I mentioned earlier, we have Carol Williams from First for Hypnotherapy. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Neil.
It's good to have you on the show this morning. So we're going to find out more about what Carol does and how hypnotherapy even may be able to help you. So, Carol, let's start at the beginning. What's your background, and how did you get into the field of hypnotherapy?
Well, Neil, I come from a housing background originally. So I've sort of been in housing for over 10 years. And then I decided to take a course in hypnotherapy along with my son-in-law.
Okay.
So we carried on doing this course with hypnotherapy. He decided to drop out because he had other things that he'd like to do. And I carried on.
Wow.
And then I gained a diploma in hypnotherapy, counselling, psychotherapy and BWRT practitioner.
So what's BWRT?
BWRT is Brain Working Recursive Therapy.
Okay.
It's quite a relatively new therapy, but it is now being recognised by the NHS. And it's very different to hypnotherapy in the sense that you're creating neural pathways in the brain, but in just a different way to hypnotherapy. There's no trance involved at all.
Wow. Okay, and you say it's quite a new field.
It is very relatively new, yes.
Wow.
But it's now getting recognised.
And you were saying during the break that during brain working recursive therapy, you have to speak quickly.
You do. You have to do loops. And there's six loops that we actually perform in the therapy, the therapist does. It's sort of to like a confusional sort of loop where the brain, the subconscious, feels it's being confused, and that's the way that the therapy works.
Wow, that sounds quite deep. So what sorts of people would need BWRT?
Anybody that's got fears, phobias, any behaviour change that they would like to change. It can work with anxiety, quit smoking. It's just a different type of therapy to hypnotherapy. Some people prefer BWRT, other mm-hmm. people prefer hypnotherapy because it's more relaxation for them, really, and they can feel really relaxed while they're having the therapy.
Ah, so they might not necessarily know that they need BWRT as opposed to hypnotherapy, but that would be for you to actually take them down that that right route.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I sort of discussed the issues with them at the consultation and the things that they would like to change.
Yeah.
And then I advised them, because as a hypnotherapist, we're just really facilitators and guides. We sort of guide them in the right direction. Their actual brain does all the work.
Ah, very, very interesting. So let's expand more on this subject of hypnotherapy. I understand a bit about what it is. I think there's some preconceptions out there. I think there's a confusion sometimes between hypnotherapy and hypnotism. So let's go through some basics. So what is hypnotherapy and what isn't hypnotherapy?
Well, stage hypnosis is what a lot of people get confused with hypnotherapy.
Yeah, look into my eyes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come to me thinking, oh, you're not going to sort of make me cluck like a chicken, are you? And I say, no, totally not. That is not what the therapy is about. I mean, that is stage hypnosis, and that's for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Regarding hypnotherapy, it's a really relaxing, guided relaxation. Where you've got a conscious part of the brain and the subconscious, and you have got a critical faculty, which is a barrier in between those two parts of the brain. So when you relax the mind and the body, that barrier lowers, and that allows the therapist to get into the subconscious where we need to do all the work and make the changes.
Tapping into the subconscious mind.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Because that's where obviously behaviour changes are made. And
yes, that's right. That's where all our patterns are, from when we were 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a big database, really.
Fantastic. So talking about your services in general. So we've got here BWRT, so Brain Working Recursive Therapy. We have hypnotherapy. You took the diploma in psychotherapy as well.
That's right.
So
yes.
Of your services, in what ways can your services help people? In what ways? So people that are listening out there at the moment, what may they be able to identify in their own life where they go, oh, that might actually be quite handy?
Well, normally people that come to me, they'll come to me with a certain situation saying that, oh, I can't sleep very well. Don't know why, but my sleeping's really bad. It's affecting my everyday life. When we delve a little bit deeper, because it's not always what's on the surface, it's what's going on underneath. And that's what the consultation's for, is to dig a bit deeper, to find out exactly what's going on in their life, to discover, you know, what type of therapy they need. So they might come to me for sleeping issues, for instance, suffering with severe anxiety. Sometimes they can't go outside of the house.
Okay.
You know, for any reason, they've got stress at work, they've got family issues, issues with their children, for instance, driving fear, or an exam fear. They've got an exam coming up and they, can't do the exam because they're really scared, they're really nervous. It all comes down to a fear-based, really, somewhere deep within them, which has been embedded in their subconscious mind sometime throughout their life. And then certain issues will come up during their life, which will trigger off these certain situations.
Yeah.
And the subconscious is all about survival.
Yeah.
So if you've survived something that's happened to you in the past,
you will follow the same pattern.
You'll follow
to
the
survive.
Same pattern because it matches itself
even
to that
as
pattern.
As irrational as it might,
exactly.
it might seem to others.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And that's what we're here to do, is to really help them resolve their anxiety and the underlying issues, which makes them feel totally different. Because once you've released those anxieties and the issues at the root cause of the problem, then it will lift. It's like having a weight lifted off your shoulders, and you see and you think things differently.
So do you find that on the surface, people don't really know where these fears are coming from?
Yes. They think they do, but sometimes they don't, because even the therapist doesn't know where it's coming from at the time until we sort of work with that person and we sort of delve in a bit deeper.
Okay. So let's talk about smoking, because obviously quitting smoking is a big thing at the moment. Lots of people are going on to vaping. I'd argue that vaping is a strategy to stop smoking. It's not a substitute. And I know lots of people that come off of smoking and go on to vaping and then stay vaping. And I kind of think, well, it's a bit like coming off of sugar and going on to sweeteners and then actually staying on sweeteners for the rest of your life. Vaping is arguably less damaging than smoking, but it's still quite damaging. The other alternative is to come to you and look at hypnotherapy as a strategy and a method to stop smoking. So explain more a little bit for people out there that perhaps are trying to quit. and don't want to go down the vaping route, or even the vaping and want to come away from the habit altogether, how does hypnotherapy help someone who wants to stop smoking?
Well, I offer a one session quit smoking with my clients that come to me for people that want to quit smoking. They come to me, obviously they have like withdrawal symptoms when they try to do it on their own.
Okay.
So they come to me, we go through the therapy, which is the one quit smoking session. And then there is a follow-up session if they need it, but most of my clients don't need that. So, you know, they have got my support there if they do. It's about changing the patterns in the brain and the way that they think about smoking.
Okay.
So if you can change that in the subconscious, they won't want to smoke either.
Right.
You know, it also is to do with their health benefits. It all depends on how it's affecting their life as well. You know, whether it's to do with health, relationships, family.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a coping mechanism for something else, probably an underlying cause.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it's about changing the thought patterns in the brain.
Tapping into that good old subconscious part of the brain.
It is. Yes, that's right.
Wow. Fascinating. So what other ways can hypnotherapy help people? So recover stress and fear management and trauma and anxiety and smoking. Any other areas?
You can do it for fears and phobias.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it just for relaxation, IBS, okay. OCD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a long list on my website, you know, of what I do therapy with and help my clients with. You know, I've come from a background where I had low self-esteem and really lacked a lot of confidence growing up as a child.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognise that until I sort of took myself into hypnotherapy myself as a therapist. I teach self-hypnosis. I also give away free CDs during my sessions so they can use them in between the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps that reinforcement of the changes in their mind and in their subconscious. So I've really experienced, you know, having low self-esteem and confidence held me back, you know, growing up. And it's only recently in the last few years, you know, since I've been a therapist, that I've really noticed how my life has changed for the better.
Fascinating. Really, really interesting. And you mentioned about working with the Wisdom Hospice with cancer patients.
I do. I work alongside with the Wisdom Hospice at the moment with obviously patients. There's about 12 in my group.
Mm-hmm.
I do guided visualization with them. I help them with pain control. It also helps them with any pre-ops that they might be having or after surgery, like post-operation surgery, for a quicker recovery period. So, but they absolutely love me there and they're really enjoying the sessions. It's helping them, you know, so much.
Fantastic. Such a good cause as well.
So
what other successes have you had with clients? Obviously, you can't mention people by name, but have you got any examples of where, some real-world examples of where hypnotherapy's helped an individual?
Yes, I did. I've worked alongside a guy who had a cheese phobia.
A cheese phobia.
Yeah, okay. Very, very unusual. But he wanted to go out to America to enjoy cheese and wine with his brother. Said to me that he's never been able to eat cheese all his life, even when he was a child. And we worked together. And now he's enjoying cheese and wine with his brother in America. When he goes into a restaurant, he can order something off the menu that does contain cheese. So that was a good one to do, a phobia that he had about that.
Yeah, just goes to show we can have phobias for, people link phobias with things like water and spiders, which are, I guess, are very, very common ones.
Yes.
And heights and what have you. But there's some, I won't call them odd, but unusual ones out there. And obviously to the person, this is a very real fear.
It is.
So people that don't have a fear of cheese, you think, well, really? You know, it's very, very strange. But to the individual, it's a very real thing, isn't it?
It is, definitely. It's very real to them. I've just worked with a lady that had misophonia.
Okay.
For people that don't know what misophonia is, it's to do with certain noises. It could be hand movements as well and gestures that actually, you know, give them a lot of anger and a lot of rage inside because they can't stand anybody doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They also preempt things as well because that's the cycle they get into.
Yeah.
So I've worked with her for about 15 weeks. It's completely gone now. So what she's lived with for so many years has just disappeared. And she said she wished she'd sought hypnotherapy before in the past, you know, instead of waiting all these years to get rid of it.
And that's interesting because I'm sure there's people out there listening that will be dealing with a phobia perhaps of some sort or a fear of some sort and just accept that as being the norm. And what you're saying is that isn't always necessarily going to be the case. If you can talk to someone like you, talk to a hypnotherapist, then that fear of whatever it is or that anxiety or whatever the thing that's causing a problem in your life can actually be made to go away in some cases.
It can, that's right. Or it can help manage.
Help manage,
or,
it,
you
yeah.
know, their condition. But mostly it's just gives them such, you know, a different way of life. You know, it enhances their life. It
must be quite empowering when they get to grips with something that's been perhaps quite debilitating for years.
It does. It does. It does give them the power back to take control.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So what are your plans for the coming year or 18 months? Where's your business going over the next year or so?
Well, I'm looking to do an article for a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also working along the Wisdom Hospice. I'm also hoping to start up some workshops. If anybody's interested, please get in touch with some relaxation guided workshops as well, because you'll be surprised that if you suffer from high blood pressure, your blood pressure does drop in hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. So it will bring your blood pressure down, because that's something else that hypnotherapy is a very good tool to work with. So please, you know, if you're interested in any of my workshops, just get in touch and I can give you the dates and Brilliant. The times and the venues.
Excellent. And we'll come on to the contact details in a second. So who would be your ideal client? So people that are listening out there that might have particular conditions, I mean, who would be the ideal person to come and talk to you? What sort of conditions are we looking to help people with?
I work with anybody. Anybody that's got neurosis. We don't actually work with anything that's psychotic,
mm-hmm.
that's like schizophrenia, bipolar, that type of mental health, because that's more for a psychiatrist, that profession.
Yep.
So we work with people that have got fears, phobias, weight loss, quit smoking, anxiety, IBS, anything that's really affecting their life so badly that they want to change and, you know, and enhance their life. Yeah. And to go forward, anything that's holding them back, really.
Fantastic. And so you mentioned that you do that initial consultation. How does that work?
Yeah, I always have a free consultation with my clients because I like to get to meet them face to face.
Okay. I was going to ask if it's face to face or over the phone.
It can be over the phone if that's what they prefer. But mm-hmm. I do like to see them face to face. And most of my clients do come to see me.
Right.
I must admit, just to meet me. They know who they're working with.
Yeah.
And then we can work out a program together of how we're going to get them mentally well.
Fantastic.
And, you know, and physically well as well.
Excellent, excellent. So how do people get in touch with you? What's your phone number? What's your website address?
My website address is firstforhypnotherapy.co.uk.
Okay.
You can contact me on my mobile, which is 07598 707624,
mm-hmm.
just for an informal chat. You can come along to the free consultation. There's no obligation to go ahead with any therapy if you didn't wish to. But I'd like to meet you, you know, if you feel that you've got something in your life, especially anxiety and stress, which is a big one these days. Please come and see me. Come for a talk. Make your own decisions.
So your website is first for hypnotherapy.co.uk and your mobile 07598 707624.
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on the show this morning, Carol. It's been great to learn more about hypnotherapy, what it is, what it does, and how it can help people. And it's also been great to hear a bit more about your background and your journey as well. So thank you for coming on the show. And thanks again.
Well, thank you, Neil.
Down the street, concentrating on trucking right, I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. Thank you.
back my silver chain. He said, I'll give you $1. I said, you've got to be joking, man. It was a present from my mother. He said, I like it, I want it. I'll take it off your hands and you'll be sorry. You cross me, you better understand that you're alone.
interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest on this morning, Carol Williams from First for Hypnotherapy. Okay, there were two songs there. Normally I play one song in a break, but the song from Greece is quite topical at the moment because we are having the 40th anniversary celebrations of the film. I can't believe it's been 40 years. And I actually went to the cinema last Wednesday with my family, and we went to see it on the big screen. I've got to say, if you get the chance, doesn't matter how many times you've seen Grease on TV, you really have to go and see it on the big screen. It really lends itself well to cinema. So a couple of songs there. We had Dreadlock Holiday from 10cc, and you've got a One That I Want from Grease, both from 1978. Okay, before we go on to talk about the subject of glucagon, a couple of quick reminders. You can tweet in to the show either while we're on air, or you can tweet in between shows for a shout out. If you go to Twitter, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. And also, if you go to the Facebook page, you can go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show and find it there. You can also listen to all previous shows on iTunes as well. So if you go to iTunes and you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can pick up and subscribe to the show's podcast feed there. And there's the previous 21 shows to listen to with lots of useful information and guest interviews. And you can also listen to all the shows again via my website. So if you go to i-nutrition.co.uk, click on the media page, and you can listen to all the previous shows there at your leisure. So glucagon. Last week we spoke about insulin. Now, when we talk about blood sugars, most people know that insulin is related to blood sugar. Maybe they don't know the intricate details of how the mechanism works, but they know that if you're a diabetic, insulin becomes a problem. If you're a type 1 diabetic, as some of you may know, a type 1 diabetic or be a type 1 diabetic yourself, you know that they have to inject with insulin. So the pancreas is the organ that is responsible for producing insulin. So insulin is the energy usage stroke fat storage hormone. So when you eat carbohydrates, particularly sugary carbohydrates, you have a rise in blood sugar, and your body needs to deal with this blood sugar quickly. And it does this by either opening the cells for energy or eventually transporting the glucose back to the liver to be stored in the liver as stored glucose, but also to be converted into fat. And the hormone that unlocks the cells to allow them to use the glucose for energy is called insulin. And insulin is produced by the beta cells of the pancreas. Less people know about glycogen. Now, glycogen is also produced by the pancreas, but unlike the beta cells, glycogen comes from the alpha cell. So we have alpha cells, beta cells, and delta cells in the pancreas. And it's the beta cells that produce insulin and the alpha cells that produce glycogen. Now, glycogen is the complete antithesis of insulin. It does the complete opposite job of insulin. So what your body does is it uses the two hormones to keep a condition called homeostasis. And all homeostasis means is balance. So your body is happy within a fairly tight blood sugar window, and it uses insulin and glycogen on a constant basis to keep that balance of blood sugars. But it doesn't use them together, it uses them separately. So for example, your body would use glycogen if you hadn't eaten for a while. So if your blood sugar starts to drop, and we're talking about non-diabetics for the purpose of this piece here, if your blood sugar starts to drop, if you haven't eaten for a while, if you're overnight while you're asleep, your blood sugars drop, your body still needs energy, but you're not obviously eating. So your blood sugars drop down, and then your body produces glycogen to release stored energy to be used by the body's cells. So just remember that the stimulus for insulin is high blood glucose, and the stimulus for glycogen is low blood glucose. So glycogen taps into your body's, well, initially it taps into your body's glucose stores in the liver. So your body will store glucose in the liver for use when blood sugar levels drop, and glycogen taps into that and releases that stored glucose, that stored sugar, to bring your blood sugar levels back up. Again, if you haven't eaten for a while or during sleep. So just remember that glucagon is the opposite to insulin. So insulin is fat storage, energy usage, and it unlocks cells for use for taking glucose out in the blood. And glucagon does the complete opposite. So it's a counter-regulatory hormone. And they do work together, but they don't work at the same time. So glucagon acts to counterbalance the effects of insulin. It has an important role in the regulation of glucose and also body fat. And if your blood glucose is high, so if you're suffering with hyperglycemia, then no glucagon gets secreted. If you're exercising vigorously and you haven't eaten the right things or haven't eaten for a while, then you will go into a state of hypoglycemia, because your body will be using the glucose, the blood sugars that are in the blood already. And when your blood sugars drop, it will actually release glucagon. So your body increases blood sugar levels. And about 4 to 6 hours after you eat, the blood sugar levels start to decrease, and that triggers your pancreas to produce glucagon as well. And this hormone signals your liver and muscles to change the stored glycogen, so glycogen is stored glucose, back into glucose, and then that gets released into your bloodstream for energy. So this is what happens when glucagon is released. It does the following things to the body. It stimulates the liver to break down glycogen to be released into the blood as glucose. It activates a thing called gluconeogenesis. Now, gluconeogenesis is where your body starts to convert amino acids into glucose. So it starts to convert amino acids into glucose, and it also starts to burn stored fat. And we're going to come on to this part's actually quite important. I haven't got the time today to talk about the way that glucagon can help you to lose body fat. But once your body has gone through the process of burning stored glucose and then using amino acids, it then taps into body fat, and it converts your stored fat, your triglycerides, into fatty acids, and the fatty acids into ketone bodies, and then they can be used for fuel by the body. But there is a process to that, and I'll go into more detail a bit later on. So glucagon secretion depends on the types of meals that we eat. So if we eat a very high carbohydrate meal, particularly sugary carbohydrates, or one that has a high glycemic load, so we eat a lot of vegetables in one go or a lot of fruit in one go, then glucagon levels in the blood fall because your body needs insulin to bring those blood sugars back down. And remember, glucagon does the complete opposite of insulin. So as you eat a very high carbohydrate meal, your blood sugars start to rise, glucagon switches off, and insulin switches on. If you have a very high protein meal, then glucagon levels in the blood will start to rise, because obviously you do need carbohydrates in your diet. You don't need too many, and you certainly don't need too many of the wrong type. So how do insulin and glucagon work together? Well, it's a thing called a negative feedback loop. So what this means is it's a process where one triggers another, which triggers another, which triggers another. So you've always got, and again, we're talking about non-diabetics here, you've always got glucagon or insulin in your bloodstream at any one time to keep this condition of homeostasis or blood sugar balance. So when blood sugars increase, you get a reaction with insulin, and when blood sugars decrease, you have a reaction with glucagon, and that's constantly in motion. And the idea of that constant motion of these two hormones, this balance of the hormones, is that it helps to provide your body with energy. If you have too much energy, if you have a large meal, if you eat lots of sugary carbohydrates, and the body can't use all that energy in the short term, then it will store it for future use. And that's where glucagon comes along, and it taps into all that stored glucose for use as energy. So glucagon makes the liver release the glucose into your blood, as we've mentioned, and that does increase your blood sugar levels. And it also works the liver quite hard as well in actually releasing all that stored energy from the liver. Now, there is obviously implications with type 1 and type 2 diabetics. And very few type 2 diabetics will suffer with hypoglycemia, that is too low blood sugar. Most diabetics, type 2 diabetics, will suffer with hyperglycemia, which is too high blood sugar. And remember, when your blood sugars are high and insulin's doing what it can to bring down blood sugar levels, then glucagon is not being produced. And if glucagon isn't being produced, you're not tapping into your stored energy sources, which, as I mentioned, predominantly is around the liver and in the muscles as well. But then once that stored glucose is used up, then your body starts to tap into your body fat cells. And if you're trying to lose weight, specifically trying to lose body fat, I'm not a great advocate of losing weight for the sake of losing weight. It's about losing body fat. Then you really need to get the balance of these hormones right. And you need to tap in and encourage your body to produce glucagon. And in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, the saying that breakfast is the best meal of the day is a bit of a fallacy, because if you remember, while you're asleep, your body produces glucagon to tap into the stored energy sources. Well, if you can wake up and start moving around and burning a bit more energy, just moving around the house and getting ready for work, and you can extend the period of fasting, then your body has to produce more glucagon to raise up blood sugar levels. And it does that, as I mentioned, by tapping into your body fat. I'm not a fan of these low carb diets or no carb diets. I think they're quite dangerous. I think there should always be balance between carbs and fats and proteins. But if you can go a few hours in the morning, once you're awake, if you can go a few hours without eating or having breakfast, that really does encourage your body to produce more glucagon. And remember, glucagon is the energy burning hormone. So we are going to go into a bit more detail next week about glucagon and fat loss, and how you can tap into your glucagon, or you can encourage your body to produce more glucagon to tap into your body fat cells. So we're about to wrap the show up for another week. Just a quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to contact me through my website, please feel free to do so. If you need help with weight management or type 2 diabetes management, please do drop me a line. I do offer a free discovery session over the phone just to find out more about what your issues are and if I can help you. The show's Twitter feed, as I mentioned, is at Health Radio Show. So please feel free to drop me a tweet between shows. If you'd like a shout out, use the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. And again, you can find the show's Facebook page. Go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, and you can like that page too. I would like guests for future shows. We are booked up throughout May and into June now. But if you'd like to come on the show, as Carol has done today and as previous guests have done, and use the show as a platform just to explain to people a bit more about you, about where you've come from, what you do, and how you can help people, then please do contact me via my website. And as I mentioned, you can listen again to this show and previous shows on iTunes podcast. So go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen to previous shows via my website on the media page. That's about it. So thank you, Carol, for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you, Neil.
It's been great to find out more about what you do and about the subject of hypnotherapy. And we are going to continue the theme of 1978. So we've had a couple of songs on already. We've had the Boomtown Rats, we've had 10cc, and we've had John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. And I'm going to leave you with a classic from Ian Dury. Now, most of you know Ian Dury Ian Dury and the Blockheads from the late 70s, and his hit was Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick. Going to play you another song of his, which is also a hit, although not quite as big as that one, but I think it's one of his best. So until next week, I leave you, and stay healthy for the following week, and I'll see you next Monday.
I could be a poet, I wouldn't need to worry. I could be a teacher in a classroom full of scholars. I could be the sergeant in a squadron full of wallets. What a waste. what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First nine nerves, every one night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. What a waste, what a waste. What a waste. Stratagems and bruises. I could be a doctor with poultices and bruises. I could be a writer with a growing reputation. I could be the ticket man at Fulham Broadway Station. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I'm trying to play the fool in a six-piece band. First nine girls, every one-night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. Sparks the revolution. I could be an inmate in a long-term institution. I could eat the wild extremes. I could do or die. I could yawn and be withdrawn and watch them gallop.